Thank you, Lord. All right, Sunday morning, 2:18:24. I'm going to start out with the Prophet's Corner Uncut. Okay. The future of our nation. I want to talk to you just a little bit about something else, just for a minute, which it's connected, but it's not connected. For a few weeks now, really since the, I'd say, first week or so of January, I have just been having attacks, a new set, and just trying to isolate it and find out where it's coming from. And I mean, I know the apostle gets a lot of flack, but a lot of the intercessors take the flack of the apostle, but what they don't understand, the intercessors are the ones that really probably get the most pounding. And so this is coming from the prophetic stance here. I think I've isolated where it's coming from. It has to do with the truther movement. The alternative news sources, that really, you can't say it's just our nation, it's really worldwide. And I'm picking up certain things, and when I start going down a certain route, that's when I notice this attack. And so I'm going, okay, Lord, what's going on here? What's the truth? Because we know right now, in amidst all the podcasters, there's some that are, well, it's divided. And people say, well, we need to pray for unity. No, we don't. And I'll tell you why. God is dividing the wheat from the chaff. But on the other side of that, when you hear major truthers and truther movements backing things that are bashing other truthers, certain films maybe that they have made that are heinous. Something's going on. I said, Lord, is this just another psyop? Are they running a sting? So see, I'm not sure because I'm not sure. Since I'm not sure because of all these things are coming at me, I need your help to pray in the Spirit. I'm not going to put any specifics. I'm not going to say what I think. I want to know what is the truth. I want to know the truth. See, when you know the truth will make you free. And so we need to know the truth, because if we don't know the truth, how can we pray? It's like I think we've had a lot of wasted prayers because this is some white hats psyop they're playing on the deep state, and we think it's real, and we're speaking against Biden that doesn't exist, and you know what I'm saying? How can we pray effectively if we don't know? And so that's what I'm asking you, that God will give us wisdom on how to pray, the Spirit will direct it, and we can get whatever needs to be done broken through so we can get on with what needs to take place. All right? Is that plain enough? All right. The future of our nation. Beauty, whether apparent or not, is rising out of the ashes. Everyone becoming born again is that beauty. New creatures in Christ Jesus. My new creatures have a supernatural assignment to take the Great Commission. Out of the ashes of the old church system will beauty rise. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. I will obviously, I'd be probably standing in the prophetic office this morning. Anyway, Isaiah 61. Unless the Lord switches it. It's up to him. But I tend to let my prophetic one take a back seat because of the apostle. But it's not one to take a back seat. It's just, you know, whatever the Lord wants me to operate through. All right. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Does that sound like today to you, where we are? And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery. For burnt offering I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Let me say something again about unity. Don't always be so quick to pray for unity. How can unity happen between light and darkness? Especially when you don't know who's in the light or who's not. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. Jesus said he brought a sword. He'd divide a household. Daughter against mother. Father against son. And their offspring among the people, all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. I want truth. I'm a seeker of truth. I always have been. And I just said, Lord, we have to know the truth. It's time for this PSYOP to be over. And maybe they're trying to clear the threshing floor even now with what's going on. I'm just not sure. All right, go back to Isaiah 52. Verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. But thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, and therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. That's what we want to know. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out in the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. I always mess up on that word for some reason. Your reward. All right, this is the message of the gospel. Each pair of beautiful feet will rise and proclaim the good news, and amid seeming defeat, I must bring it all down to the foundation. Yeah. All right, Matthew 16. In other words, the Lord's preparing us about what we're fixing to see. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, this church is not going to be a church that has no power, where the gates of hell has prevailed. What God is doing, the new thing, the beautiful thing, is going to be a church that has power. My people have forgotten me. To move forward, they will have to rise and begin to take the commission. Finally, occupy the land. This time it will be under my leadership and not the ideas of men. I must bring it down to the foundation, for even the foundation is rotten. It is rotten, but not forgotten. As much as evil has prevailed in this nation, a day is coming, as proclaimed in Jeremiah, that all will know me from the least to the greatest. That's where we're headed, the future of our nation. We're going to look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Start at verse 31. You see here, we were waiting on the white hats to do their operation and all of that. But they can't take it any further than what their assignment is. The church still has her assignment, his assignment, whichever you want to say it. 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So this is Jews and Gentiles. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's what's coming. It's not going to happen immediately, but that's what's coming. That's the ultimate goal. Okay, Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and they will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Just a confirmation in the New Covenant. It seems that the world is so full of wickedness and that wickedness is abounding. But the kingdom of God infiltration into the seven mountains will swallow up the wickedness. We're still going to have to take it. Just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It works the same way with the gospel. You will live in a day that righteousness will abound. All the new creatures will learn to follow my voice, my plans. My will be done in earth as in heaven. No longer imagine evil, but imagine good. When I looked out over the waters and the darkness, I imagined light. He's telling us, no longer imagine the evil and all the junk that's going on. Imagine good. See, whatever God made in Genesis 1, what did he say about it? It's good. All right, when I looked out over the waters and the darkness, I imagined light. Start to see the light and refuse to see the darkness. This is what you have already been doing. Heard a man talking about that, that's written a book on this, about, you know, keeping your thoughts to the point that you, everything you say out of your mouth has something to do that does raise your consciousness, your mindset. And that way, when your mindset is raised, your faith operates, right? That's what it's all about, because that's where Satan targets is in your mind. All right. Start to see the light, refuse to see the darkness. This is what you have already been doing, calling those things which be not as though they are. As my body begins to do this, you will see things like you have never seen them before. It will be so glorious. I gave Amos a look at into this time. We're going to look at Amos 9. Amos 9. I said, Lord, how come you have me stop and give scriptures in these words? Because most of them just get up and prophesy and never give any scripture. You know, they just do it. They might quote a scripture. But I was asking him that, and he said, well, it's already judged. If you can't judge it by the word, throw it away. I said, okay. 9. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying, isn't it what they did, you know, judging by the mouths of two or three witnesses about the Word of God? If a song comes forth or if a word comes forth, does it line up with the Word? All right. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. This whole thing has been about Satan's land grab. All right, all the beautiful new feet. My body rising and following my spirit, a sight never seen on the earth before. A body so mighty that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Total dominance for good. Death will be swallowed up in victory. You will think to yourself and say, it has been so bad for so long, I never thought we would see this day. Yes, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I would have you keep this in your thoughts, especially in the coming days ahead. No longer grieve over this nation. My plan is in place, and it is unfolding the way that I would have it to unfold. I told you the best days were ahead, and they are. The plan had to be this way. I'm with you by my spirit. I will never leave you or forsake you. Just keep your hand to the plow. Refuse to look back in your mind, but set your sights on the target. You will see the salvation of the Lord. There will be no more fear or tears. You will overcome by the blood and my name. I'm taking it down to the foundation, for this is the only way. My house cannot be built on sinking sand. The church system that you see now is on the sand. This is what you and your team and other teams across this nation will do. They will relay the foundation, replacing a house on the sand with a house on the rock. I have said that I will shake things. The shaking is taking place. This is how I'm purging the wicked leaven out. After the shaking is over and the restoration begins, you will think you are in heaven, and you will be right. My kingdom come, my will be done in earth as in heaven. All right, a couple more scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12. All right, verse 25. There's two types of prophets. There's prophets that see and prophets that hear. I'm one that hears. Once in a while I'll see, but for the most part, hear. Yeah. You know, I told you a long time ago, scribe. I mean, it's nothing in the Old Testament where the, you know, king would call in the, they call him the scribe, the prophet, and he would write down, or the, excuse me, the scribe would come in and write down the words of the prophet and present it to the king. All right. 12:25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. All right, Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is the firmament here. Firmament's called heaven. Genesis 1:8. And they're doing everything they can to smash it up, but when it's not coming open until Jesus rolls it back like a scroll. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Ha! Underground cities and bunkers. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Ain't no hiding. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? It's happening. When it all begins to fall, everything is shaking, the Lord says, be not dismayed. My thoughts. This is what I wrote down. I see a lady cleaning up the dinner table. There is a tablecloth on the table. She folds it up and takes the tablecloth outside and shakes all the crumbs out of it. Like, you know, you go, it's like that. And all, kind of like a bathroom rug. That's what he's doing. All right, the Lord continues. Remember at the beginning of all this how you asked me why everything was such a mess. What did I say? I said that I was cleaning out the closets. The Lord reminded me of a dream that he gave me. I was in D.C. and I was underneath the building. It was like in a basement. And that means everything is pulled out. I just lost my place. I was because I looked down. Didn't know what I was seeing then, but I do now. The building was shaking, and I remember the dust coming off from the shaking. I believe the Lord was showing me the underground secret society that's been ruling the entire earth. A peak like Ezekiel had. He looked at the, we're going to read about it. God let him look through a hole in the wall, and he saw the two character of the leaders. Okay, this is Ezekiel 8. They're naive enough to think that God doesn't see what they're doing. All right, Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, that I, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins, even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. You remember pictures of people when they found these underground cities? It was always stairs, and then there was a hallway, and there was a door that went on down into the depths. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. They had a picture of under, I don't know if it's under the Capitol or under the White House, but it showed this massive area all underneath. They'd go down there and do their awful stuff. Anything new, same old devil. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Kind of like Podesta's art, right? And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. They said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? It is a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here. For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. That sounds like an Indian thing, they do that thing where they burn the rope and they do this. You know, you can say what you want. I know there's a lot of Christian, they call them First Nations, whether they are or not, I really don't know. But that shamanism and all that they practice, no, that's not God. That ain't God. All right, chapter 9. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have change over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Here's the militia. I don't know if that'll come to that. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in. See, they had the media with them. And stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the written inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. This is the mark of God in their forehead. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slain them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done so as thou hast commanded me. And then what? I'm going to read verse 1 of 10. Then I looked, and behold, the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, sapphire stones, as the appearance of the likeness of a stone. This is God in his chariot. He's watching the whole thing right above the firmament. The Lord continues here. They still think that I don't see what they do in secret. I think it's because they've done it for so long, they have this confidence that they've always won and they'll continue to. They can no longer hide the truth. Yes, I'm cleaning out the closets, and that means everything is pulled out, everything exposed to the light. This is the state of the Union and of the nations of the world. Out of this chaos will come order. My order. Refuse to let this disorganization move you, for out of the ashes beauty will arise. A final thought. I ask the Lord this. How are we going to get this silly rapture theory out of the church? This is what I heard. These pet peeve doctrines that keep my people distracted are like fleas on a dog. Think about that. Have you ever seen an animal infested with fleas? There is a total infestation. Pet peeves are like fleas. Must poison the pet peeve doctrines with the truth. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Right? A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. All right. That's going to be all of this one.